Well, thank you, Hines, and thank you for coming out this evening. Battle for the next generation. Do we have a heart for our children? Do we really care about our children and where they're going to spend their eternity? Let's start here. Our mission. As Christians, we've all been given a mission statement. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe, notice the word, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. We have a job, don't we? This is to all Christians. Now, what's our situation? I'm going to do a little analogy here. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. God is not very happy with Israel. He's not very happy with them. And let me show you what he's going to do to them. And I want to show you, this sounds a lot like America today. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being priests for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. Anybody have an idea how many of our youth are leaving the church today because they're not being taught how to defend their faith? About 70%. That is a very high casualty rate. Sounds like Israel, doesn't it? So let's start here. Three truths from God's word. Number one, the Bible teaches God is the creator of all things. We see this in Genesis chapter 1. We see it in Colossians 1:16. We see it in many other books of the Bible. God is the creator of all things. What does that mean? Evolution has to be wrong. If you believe the Bible, evolution has to be wrong. Truth number two. The Bible teaches that God determines what is right. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I did not say to the seed of Jacob, seek me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. John 17, 17, sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. John 14, 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. What does that mean? Moral relativism is wrong. There are absolutes. Truth number three. The Bible teaches we should train our children according to God's ways. Proverbs 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 and 7. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall, get that word, teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. What does that mean? We have an obligation as parents to teach our children according to God's way, and secular education is wrong. I'm not saying it's a sin to go to secular education. I know there's circumstances. But you know what they're learning in secular education? There is no creator God, which rules out the gospel of Jesus Christ. So whatever they're getting in those secular schools, it's our job as parents, the number one teacher in our child's life, to make sure our children are grow up in God's ways, not the world's ways. So we will start with a biblical worldview. And I know there's lots of definitions of biblical worldview out there. And there's a lot of good ones out there. We're going to take ours from the Bible. Matthew 22, verse 37. Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and all thy mind. I meet a lot of people, they've given their heart and soul to God, but their mind is still thinking like the world. There is a great definition of a biblical worldview. We are to give everything to God, not some. And we can also include this. We need to be sanctified. Romans 12, 1, 2, we are supposed to renew our minds, stop thinking like the world. John 17, 70 says we're to be sanctified. What in the world does sanctified mean? We are to be set apart from the world. We are in it, but we're not part of it. We're to set apart from the world, not act like the world. 1 Peter 3:15, sanctify God in your heart. Set God apart. That's a biblical worldview right there. So let's get to the heart of the matter. In 1973, abortion was legalized nationwide. On June 26, 2015, the U.S. Supreme Court legalized same-sex marriage nationwide. For many years, students have been taught moral relativism, starting in the early grades. There are no absolutes. For decades, evolutionism has been taught as a fact in our secular universities and schools. We look at the National Science Organizations, the teaching of evolution, the National Science Education Standards, National Research Council's Board on Life Sciences, National Academy of Sciences, National Association of Biology Teachers, and National Center for Science Education, all promoting the teaching of evolutionism from grades K through 12. Life Sciences Education, the American Society for Cell Biology, they have created a plan for developing the Thinking Evolutionary Initiative. Let me show you something about what they're doing there. The Teaching Evolution Initiative. Develop and implement models of successful professional development for teaching evolution. How many churches in this country are doing something like that? Can anybody name one Christian university that is doing anything like this? No wonder we're losing 70%. We don't have any training grounds. Identify sources of funding for allow K through 12 teachers to attend professional society meetings. In other words, they pay to have these teachers come. We have to pay our own way, don't we? Find effective ways to train teachers to teach evolutionary thinking. There is a need to create teacher leaders, known as master teachers. Develop clear messages about the importance of thinking evolutionary. Interact with communities and engage them as partners in education and utilize social networking. They have a real plan, don't they? In other words, the non-believers are much more serious about their faith than Christians are. The National Center for Science Education has many, many resources to help you defend the teaching of evolutionism. In other words, if you're a creationist and you go and talk to that teacher, they are well trained how to defend against you. Are we well trained about the teaching of evolution? Let me give you an example. Northern Arizona University, freshman honors class. They were required to read this book called American Fascist, The Christian Right, and the War on America. The author, Chris Hedges, graduate of Harvard Divinity School, which has nothing to do with the Bible, folks, absolutely nothing. Let me show you some excerpts from this book. Followers, evangelical Christians in the movement are locked within closed systems of information and indoctrination that cater to their hates and prejudices. That's how they picture creationists and Christians. Then he says this. Most of America's fundamentalist and evangelical churches are led by pastors who peddle this non-reality belief system, one that embraces magic, the fiction of a Christian nation. That's what our students are learning in colleges. Let me show you a comment from a student who attended this class. I didn't know Christians were so bad. Let me show you a comment from a mother whose student was in this class. Don't Christians realize what their children would be up against? And if they do, why aren't they preparing their children for these battles? That is a very good question. Why aren't parents doing this? And I know why. It's not that you're lazy. I'm not lazy. You're not lazy. We haven't been taught. Question is, why as parents haven't we been taught? Where are our churches and our Christian universities? It's called apathy, non-caring, or they have compromised and no longer believe the Bible. Questions. Should we be upset with the abortionist? Should we be upset with the people who teach about gay rights and the gay rights activists? Should we be angry with the evolutionists? Should we be angry with the moral relativists? The answer is no. We should not be angry with them at all. Should we be angry with teachers who teach all this? No. Why not? Because they are being consistent with their worldview. Ladies and gentlemen, we have had decades to prepare ourselves against these teachings, and we decided we didn't want to. Where were the churches? Where are our Christian universities in this great war for the heart and soul of this nation? They're nowhere to be found. They're being academic, and that is a good thing. But if you don't know there's a war going on, you are doomed to lose. And as a result, we're losing 70% of our Christian students. They lack confidence in God's word. We're bringing pastors out of our seminaries who cannot defend their faith or even believe in the first chapters of the Bible. There's a major movement going on now in the seminaries where they're teaching Adam and Eve were not real people. What are we going to do about it? Well, here's my attitude. In my philosophy, having come from the Marine Corps, captain in the Marines, there's no longer time to complain about this. If our universities aren't going to do it, how about this? Let's do it ourselves. Let's take on the job that our universities are supposed to be doing. We have the talent, we have the tools to do it. Just sitting right here, we have enough talent, and we have all the tools God has given us. We can make a difference in our next generation. We just have to choose to do it. Our churches across the country have chosen not to do it, many of them. There are good ones. My wife and I are very privileged to see the remnants God has placed all over this country. So never give up. But our universities have kind of given up on us. They don't even know there's a war going on. I'm talking about some of our best new Christian universities in this country are not training our people. The state of Christian education. Many seminary graduates are unable to defend their faith. You ever gone up to a seminary graduate and said, where do you fit the dinosaurs? Show me any evidence for the existence of God. Was the flood a real worldwide flood? And you'll get a blank stare on their face. They spent a lot of money to go to seminary, and what for? Churches seldom bring up the topics. Youth leaders are unable to train their students to even defend their faith. Most Christian leaders are not prepared to carry out the Great Commission against the strongholds of evolution and moral relativism. I have a great question I love to ask youth pastors. It's the main question I ask them. I go up and say, if this was your first year as a youth pastor, what would you want your students to be able to do at the end of your first year of teaching? I've only had two youth pastors ever give me what I call the correct answer. Only two. And that is to be able to know, share, and defend the gospel of Jesus Christ. Most of them will say, build relationships. They've missed the point, haven't they? No wonder we have 70% not having confidence in the Bible. So can you answer these questions? How can you call God good when he allows bad things to happen? That is the number one reason people will not accept Jesus Christ. Very few people in the church can answer this. I haven't found too many seminary graduates that can answer it. How can the first 3 days of creation be literal days if the sun was not created until day four? What's true for you is not true for me. In the Old Testament, God killed men, women, and children. What kind of God do Christians worship? Why are Christians against a woman's right to choose abortion? Doesn't carbon 14 prove the earth is older than 6,000 years? The age of the earth doesn't matter. We should just preach about Jesus, and I say amen to that. Because who's the creator? Jesus Christ. How's the last book of the Bible start? The revelation of Jesus Christ. Yes, it means you've got to teach the whole Bible, don't you? When I'm approached with that, I tell people, well, there's four things we need to know about Jesus. Four things. Who is he? Why did he have to come? What did he say and what did he do for us? That covers a lot of the creation issue, doesn't it? In other words, you can't answer those questions unless you believe the first chapters of Genesis. Why are Christians so intolerant of other people's beliefs? Well, that's an easy one. Why are you so intolerant of my alleged intolerance? Give me any real evidence for the existence of God. That's where a lot of Christians just walk away and don't know what to do. There's overwhelming evidence of a creator God. Evolution is a fact, and you Christians should learn to accept that and stop trying to indoctrinate children with the fantasy of creationism. And how do you fit dinosaurs in the Bible? You see, if we can't answer those questions as parents, how are our children going to get trained? We need training grounds. That's why we're holding courses like what we're doing tomorrow, is to start building the training grounds so the churches can start doing it on their own. So our education's at a crossroads. Evolutionism is the idea of billions of years is confusing our youth, which is true, evolution of the Bible. That's why we lose 70%. They're so confused. They don't know what to believe. They come to church for maybe 2 hours a week and learn a lot of stories. Then they go off to school, and their teachers talk about evolution in billions of years, and they're confused. What should I believe? So they just ignore it and live in contradictions. Parents are concerned that their children don't believe the Bible anymore after going to school. And many church youth leaders are more concerned with numbers and entertainment than teaching students to defend their faith. That's education, Christian education today. Remember Hosea 4:6. You know, there are many Christian schools, I see a lot of these, that really want someone with the knowledge to teach apologetics, but they don't have them. Why? Because our Christian universities aren't training them that way. Christian universities would love to have somebody be able to do this. Parents are looking for some way to learn how to defend their faith so they can teach their children how to do that, but they're not getting it. Brian Yarborough, his son was murdered in the Columbine massacre, made this statement. Looking back, I realized that my church upbringing didn't stand a chance against all the immersive education that I had received. You get what he just said? The world is out-educating the church. They're doing a better job than our churches are. David Nobel, president of Summit Ministries. In fact, secular humanism is the dominant worldview in our secular colleges and universities. It has also made gains in many Christian colleges and universities. Humanists recognize the classroom as a powerful context for indoctrination. The church needs to recognize that also. It is a powerful tool to make sure our children stand fast on God's word. Don Bierley, PhD in life sciences, in his book, Surprised by Faith. At that time, 14 years old, and during the subsequent year, I did not see the church as a source of answers. During this time, I mentally either discarded or challenged much of traditional Christian teaching about the Bible, creation, Jesus Christ, and salvation. I was asking why and could not find answers. Voddie Baucham, the correlation is clear. If we continue to send our children to Caesar for their education, we need to stop being surprised when they come home as Romans. So the hard facts. Hundreds of millions, even billions of dollars are being spent to teach our children evolution, moral relativism, same-sex marriage is normal, and abortion is a woman's right. Hundreds of millions of dollars are being spent to take our children away from a belief in Jesus Christ. From grades 1 through 12, they attend public schools 12 to 14,000 hours. Here's our situation. We're outnumbered, we're outfinanced, we're surrounded, and many churches have compromised and surrendered. This is not a time to say, woe is me. This, folks, is an opportunity. What? An opportunity? Yes. In the United States Marine Corps, we are trained that when you are surrounded, you have the advantage. Why? Because now you can engage the enemy in any direction. That's what the churches need to be doing. Engaging a world that does not believe in Jesus Christ. Stop taking our children away from us and bring them back to God's Word. This is our job as parents and grandparents to start doing this. See, the battle's not on our borders anymore. It's within the churches. We have many non-believing church pastors out there today. Many teaching evolutionism from the pulpit. Jim Wilson, U.S. Naval Academy, Korean War. In the study of warfare, great men have concluded that there are some overriding principles that, if followed, will always tend towards success in battle, and if neglected or ignored, will tend toward defeat or even destruction. We have all the tools. We have our strategies. We have the Word of God. We have all the science on our side. So why are we losing 70%? So the plan of action, I don't like to talk about gloomy things without a plan of action, is very simple. 2 Timothy 2:2 will be our plan of action. What does that say? And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Paul is talking to Timothy here. He says, Timothy, now that I've trained you, you go out and do what I just did. You train others how to teach also. This is one of the greatest verses in the entire Bible on biblical discipleship. This is what we need. We need more teachers across this nation who can train our youth how to defend their faith. Train our youth that they can have confidence in God's Word. So the plan of action. Increase the number of teachers who can teach biblical creation apologetics, who can train the next generation to stand firm. That will be our plan of action. Abraham Lincoln understood this a long time ago. He is credited with saying, the philosophy of the classroom in one generation will be the philosophy of government in the next. If you want to understand why our country is in the shape it is, where did they get their education from? Then you'll start to understand why we're in such trouble. If you understand why so many 20-year-olds now endorse socialism, take a look where they were trained and what they were not taught. We have now started what's called the Education Project. We're going to go after this. In the Marine Corps, when we see a hill, we will take it. That's the attitude we need to take. The plan of action, one of the most ambitious and exciting education endeavors that we believe has taken place in a long time. We want a teacher in every Bible-believing church and every Christian school who can teach biblical creation and apologetics. That's our goal. It is a big goal. It's designed to equip the next generation to do what I call the Big Five, to think biblically, think critically and analyze statements and challenges, to be able to refute the teachings of evolutionism, to respond to the claims of the moral relativists. There are no absolutes. What's true for you is not true for me. And recognize and respond to biblical compromise. That's what we need to be training our children. Think biblically. What does that mean? That means we'll have a biblical worldview. It means they will be able to share the gospel. I teach a one-hour course at a classical Christian school in the Boise area. 1 hour a week. For a whole semester. And I went into the first day and I said, I'm going to give you one test this whole semester, just one. And you can take this test as many times as you want. Wow, that sounds pretty nice, doesn't it? It's verbal. This test is verbal. And your test will be this. I want you to be able to share and defend the full gospel of Jesus Christ. Why did I do that? Because if they can tell me the full gospel starting in the book of Genesis and be able to defend it, I have built true evangelist. Not just people can write answers on a test. I have evangelists out there. That's Christian education. What I mean by the gospel starts in Genesis, well, let's take this for example. Here's the gospel they must give. 1 Corinthians 15, chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. Chapter 15, 3 and 4. Jesus Christ suffered and died on that cross according to the scriptures. And he rose again on the third day, according to the scriptures. Right there, you get the central component of the gospel. Jesus Christ suffered and died on the cross, and he was raised from the dead. But that's not the full gospel. If that's all you know, you only know a part of the gospel. What about those words, according to the scriptures? What scriptures? Those scriptures start in the book of Genesis. We're all familiar with John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But what about John 3:17? He didn't come to what? Condemn the world. He came into the world to do what? That we might be saved. What does that word saved mean? We're right in the gospel here. What does that word saved mean? It means something's not right with us. Something went wrong. We've got to find out what went wrong. If you really want to understand the gospel, you've got to find out what went wrong. And that takes us right back to the book of Genesis. And it starts with, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. He created everything, and his creation was perfect. This, folks, is the foundation for the gospel. If you want to understand the gospel, you must know who Jesus Christ is and why he came. And why he came starts in Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3. His creation was perfect. And then he gave man one rule. Do not eat of the fruit of this tree, because if you disobey me, there will be a consequence. There will be a penalty, and that penalty will be death. What did Adam and Eve do? They disobeyed God, and God kept his promise. And death came into this world. In other words, there was no death. There was no real decay before sin. But you know what millions of years means? Death and decay and disease before sin, where many churches have compromised. There was no death and decay before sin. God kept his promise. And now we are separated from a perfect and holy God. Then we can go to the book of Romans 3:23 and 6:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the punishment for sin is death. Since all have sinned, all will die, and we're all separated from a perfect and holy God with no hope right now. And that's where we all are at one point. No hope. We're separated. But then in Genesis 3:15, we see something rather amazing. God gives the first promise of a Savior and the first promise of victory. And he carries out that promise in John 3:16. For God sent his only begotten Son to suffer and die on that cross for us. You see, now we have the hope again. Now we have the hope. Then he says, I'm going to give you this solution, but I'm going to tell you this, there's only one solution, only one way. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And I'm making this rule. This is the only way you're going to have salvation. But how do we as humans partake in this salvation? That's where we go to Ephesians 2:8 and 9. It is not what we can do. This, folks, is what separates Christianity from every other religion in the world. It is called do and done. Every other religion in the world says you must do something for your salvation. God has told us, no, you don't. My son Jesus Christ already did it. He paid the price for all your sins. So how do we do this? Through our faith and his grace. It's been done, folks. Then Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Folks, this is the full gospel. And we need to make sure our children can do this. We need to make sure we can do this. Why did Jesus have to come to this planet? If you can't answer that, you don't know a lot about Jesus Christ. That's what we need to train our children on. Think biblically. Be able to defend what they believe. Know why Jesus had to come. Why they need to be saved. So that they, in turn, can go out and tell others. That's evangelism. So the education project, our strategy, our implementation. We already have 3 one-day training courses. We've already trained over 1,000 people. Last year, we did the basic creation training class. Tomorrow, we're doing the what I call the one-day advanced creation apologetics course. I'm going to show you don't have to be a scientist to talk to the scientist. You don't have to know a lot about science to talk to the scientist. We're going to answer questions on how can you call God good when he allows bad things to happen. We're going to answer those questions. We're going to do some good critical thinking skills. How to turn the situation around on a non-believer so they're on the defense and you're on the offense. We're going to answer the question, show me any evidence for the existence of God. Those are the kind of things we're going to do tomorrow. Equip you so you can turn and start telling your children about these. Then we have a one-day Christian teacher training course. In this course, guarantee if you've got a degree in education, you won't see what's in this course. Because this course is based on how does the Bible say we're supposed to teach, not what the world says. The greatest example of motivating a student I've ever seen is Jesus with the woman at the well. The questions he asked to get that woman to understand her real need. That's the kind of things we'll find in there. How do you measure yourself as success as a teacher? What the Bible has to say about that. This is the kind of course Christian school teachers need to be in and Sunday school teachers need to be in. How to motivate your students. How to draw information out of your students without ever embarrassing them. That's what you learn in that course. Then we have our 5-day Creation Apologetics Teachers College. You won't find any course like this anywhere. This is a one of a kind. We only hold it once a year. This year will be August 1st through the 6th, 2016. August 1st through the 6th. Where do we hold it? Lifeway Ridgecrest Conference Center. Right outside Asheville, North Carolina. We only take 60 students, college age and above. Only 60 is all we allowed in this course. What's the cost? $540. Well, Mike, that's a lot of money. Well, let me tell you what you're going to get for that lot of money. 5 days of training, all your lodging in nice rooms. These are not bunk beds. These are private rooms, private bath, like a hotel room. And 3 good meals a day. I'm not talking about hot dogs and pizza either. 3 good meals a day. The lodging alone is almost $500. And we're only charging $540 for the whole thing. In other words, our ministry supplements the rest of the cost. See, the actual cost per individual is well over $900, but we only charge $540. What that means is our ministry raises $28,000 each year so we can put this course on. That's what we're trying to do. Let me go back and talk about that course just a second. I mentioned you won't find another course like this. Why? The common comment we get is this. That was the most intense course I've ever been in, and I loved it. You don't get entertainment when you come to this course, and you don't get any fluff. You'll be in class 10 hours a day and studying at night. You don't come and just listen either. You have to do 2 5-minute presentations. Not 5 minutes and 1 second. I come in there with a stopwatch. 1 second over, it's a point off your grade. You'll do 1 3-minute defense presentation. Not 3 minutes and 1 second. And you won't know what the topic is for sure till you stand up there in front. Then we issue the challenge and you defend it. You got 3 minutes or less to give the defense. Then you'll take a written final exam. Does that scare everybody off now? Let me tell you our success rate. We've done it 2 years in a row, only 60 students, we have 100% success rate. I do not tolerate failure in Christian education. I only educate for success. We've had people who come to that class who've never spoken before in front of anybody, and they pass. Our job is to make sure you succeed. Over 50% of our students are now out around the country teaching in their churches and around the other areas of the country. That's what we need to be doing. This is real, serious education. If you want to find out more, we have actual 4-page color brochures out there. If you would like to attend or you want somebody to attend, we still have some openings for this year. So this will prepare you to teach biblical creation and apologetics. And incidentally, just in case that wasn't enough, in the back of the room, we have a push-up box. People do visit that. That's what Marines do. We have to do that. At CTI, our Creation Training Initiative, we've now trained over 100 Christians in our 5-day training course. This is our 3rd year coming up, and we've had great success, 100% success with this course. Let me give you some comments from some of our students. Since I was very young, I've been a Christian. But until I got to the CTI course, I did not realize how much false teaching had crept into my worldview. With the help of CTI, I now feel that I can trust and defend the Bible. These are typical comments. This has been the best week of Bible lectures I've experienced. I want to thank you all for the preparation work. Tim, Alabama. The Creation Apologetics Teachers College was what I hoped for and more. After studying the creation evolution subject for the past 15 years, it is only now, after this week, that I can really discuss the issues with a solid biblical foundation. This is how you'll come out of that class. The implementation. So we've got the 3 1-day courses. We got the 5-day course as part of our education project. Here's another one, Sanctity of Human Life video-based course. The course will cover 3 specific topics. What the Bible teaches about the sanctity of human life. What do we know scientifically about the beginning of human life? And how to answer the challenges from the abortionists. You won't find a course quite like this. It'll be video-based with an instructor manual in it. We now have most of the monies to start this project, and we've already started. We hope to get it out early next year, by the end of this year if we can. We're going to travel around the country videoing medical doctors and scientists answering the questions. We have a list of about 30 questions from the abortionists or challenges. And on there, you'll see how the medical doctors truthfully answer these questions. So this is going to be a great video-based course, especially for youth pastors. Now they can use that in their training. Christian school teachers will be able to use it, and we can use it in churches. We want to protect those unborn children. And then we're going to develop equipping courses designed for Christian students attending public schools, which is about 90% of our Christian students attend public schools. Purpose: train students to challenge evolution using critical thinking skills. Help students write reports about evolution that show there are many unanswered questions and get good grades. We developed one of these about 14 years ago. And we had great success. Our students, Christian students going to public schools, were challenging the teachers in a polite manner, writing reports, getting good grades, and even changing teachers' lives. It can be done. Called covert operations. If we can't get in there, we will prepare the people that we send in there, called our students. The 4 courses will be the origin of life. That's a no-brainer. We should win that one every single time. The origin of humans and the mechanism for change. We should never lose that one because there is no mechanism for Darwinian evolution change. Dating methods, fossils and rocks. And biblical creation and compromise in the churches. If we can get our students to know these 4 courses, folks, we'll stop that 70%. The outcomes. Pastors, youth pastors, teachers, parents will be equipped to teach biblical creation across this country. And the things that you've heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. In other words, we're following the example in 2 Timothy 2:2. Creating teachers across the country. Thousands of high school students will have the knowledge to apply the Big 5 and stop losing their faith in God's Word. And we'll have thousands out there who are now evangelists to their peers. They can give the full gospel and defend it. So let me give you a short lesson in some of the things we're going to do in there. Build our brains. Critical thinking method. This is what we teach. Stop focusing so much on the evidence that somebody's given you about evolution. Focus on analyzing their statement. Hold them accountable to their words. And you find out you won't have to answer many questions because you'll find their bluffs. For example, we're going to teach 3 critical thinking questions. How do you know it's true? Has it ever been observed? Are you making any assumptions? Those 3 questions can stop somebody in their tracks and put them on the defense, and now you're on the offense. I train the high school students this all the time. You know our junior high students can learn this? We're going to train them on 1 power question. Show me any observational evidence for evolution that does not require me to use faith. And you can take that question and adopt it to any area of this evolutionism teaching. For example, the information in our DNA, where did it come from? Show me any observational evidence where that vast amount of information in our DNA came from that does not require me to use faith. The evolutionists cannot do that. Oh, Mike, over millions of years. Has anybody ever here observed millions of years? No, you haven't. See, when an evolutionist goes back and relies on millions of years, what they're really saying is they don't have the observable evidence. We need to demand the observable evidence. They're going to call it a fact or they're going to call it a theory. We have to demand the observable evidence, or they're asking us to believe by faith. That's what we need to train our students on. We need to train about fuzzy words and magic words. We see these in textbooks and journals. We believe, we think, must have, could have, might have, our opinions, we guess, over millions of years. When you see words like that in journals, what does it mean? They have no observable evidence. We need to train them on magic words, such as appeared, emerged, arose, gave rise, it was on the way to becoming, burst on the scene, they evolved themselves and was making a transition too. Again, no observable evidence. It's called magic. We need to train them on red flag words. All, everybody, no real scientist. I believe, I think, truth, fundamentalist, intolerant. See, the first three words there express an absolute. When somebody says, all scientists, what does that mean? Have you talked to all scientists? Well, no, then you can't say all scientists, can you? Call them on their words. Then I believe, I think, truth, those all express a personal opinion or idea. And then the last one just resorts to name-calling and labeling. Learn to identify these words. Then red flag statements like, people should decide for themselves what is right and wrong. Well, that's not hard. People should decide for themselves what's right and wrong. Then I just decide for myself what you said is wrong. No one has the whole truth. The better way to say that is no one has the whole truth, including me. That's true for you, but not for me. That's just your opinion. Those are some of the things we will be training our youth on. And we're going to do some of those tomorrow in the class to get you started. Abraham Lincoln made a lot of great statements. Here's a statement he made in 1838. Now, I'm going to read this and see if it doesn't sound like America today. Comes on two pages. Shall we expect some transatlantic military giant to step the ocean and crush us at a blow? Never. All the armies of the Europe, Asia, and Africa combined, with all the treasure of the earth, our own excepted, in their military chests, with a Bonaparte for a commander, could not by force take a drink from the Ohio or make a track on the Blue Ridge in a trial of 1,000 years. Wow, he's saying we're a pretty strong country, aren't we? Then he says this. At what point, then, is the approach of danger to be expected? I answer, if it ever reach us, it must spring up amongst us. It cannot come from abroad. If destruction be our lot, we must ourselves be its author and finisher. As a nation of free men, we must live through all time, or die by suicide. Is that not a good description of America today? It's not going to take any bombs to destroy America. We're dying by suicide. Remember this verse. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also reject you from being priests for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. Sounds like America too. Then Isaiah 6:8. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, here am I. Send me. I hope a lot of you are thinking that way today. The Education Project. We have some forms out there. If you'd like to help us on this, we need your help. This doesn't happen by magic. We're a small ministry, Creation Training Initiative, very small ministry. Only one of us takes a salary, and it's not me and it's not my wife. We need your financial support for these kind of things. We also need people in every church who can do this, and we're willing to help do the training. This is how you can get a hold of us. If you want to get a hold of me personally, I'll give you my business card. You can get a hold of my personal email and my personal cell phone number. those are some of the things we're doing. We have a lot of resources out there, a lot of resources. We have books from Answers in Genesis. We have a wonderful apologetics book. It's so good it even has colored pictures in it. It's called Christianity for Skeptics. Take a look at that one. We have answers books for children. We have lots of DVDs out there. We have a fairly new one by a medical doctor on what it takes for that baby to take their first breath. All the tremendous things that have to happen before they can take that first breath. We have a lot of DVDs. There's other resources in the other tables. Make sure you take a look at some of these resources. Don't go out blank. Pick up some of our brochures that will help you know how to get trained on these. So that's who we are. That's what we're about. And Heinz, do you want me to give it over to you, or do you want me to answer some questions now?
Give Mike a hand for his presentation.